In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
Alleluia.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
Welcome back. It's good to see so many of you here. Blessed Easter at this time. There's so many things to share with you. I don't know if you know this, but Andres right here, first master servant, right? Getting ready to make your first Holy Communion? Same with Augie as well. First Holy Communion this year in just a couple of weeks, huh? Can't wait to taste the bread of life. Continue to keep in prayer all of our young ones who are getting ready to receive their first Holy Communion. It's going to be a glorious day. What is it? What's the day? Is the 15th of May? Yeah. Got a lot of exciting things coming ahead. One, before we get into it, I just want to thank all of you. All of you who've done so many amazing things for us so that we could be here today in celebrating this great joy of Easter. Particularly, I want to thank those of you who, in your generosity, have sponsored all these beautiful lilies. Aren't they beautiful this year? I think these are lilies that are going to last as well. It was a huge effort just to bring them over here as well, because places that we get them from kept telling us, we don't have any. Three times I went to Albuquerque trying to get them, and they had them not. We finally got them. Also, want to thank those of you who set up in so many ways to transform this parish during this pre-Easter season, during the Holy Week, to transform the altar of repose for Holy Thursday, to clean up the church and make sure everything was nice and spiff and span, and that everything that was here was clean. To thank those of you who put countless hours serving and laboring for the Mass. We had a beautiful Easter vigil last night with all the glories and the readings and everything like that. Went well on to the evening, didn't it, Katrina? And you stayed awake the whole time. Good job. We had a great night last night, and today, to be able to rise here today on this Resurrection Sunday with all the glory that is here. I can't forget to thank Fabian, who always seems to be some sort of grease that makes all the things that I do seem like I knew what I was doing when I put them together. So thank you for that. And as well, Deacon Marvin, who I said to you just before here, you are worth your weight in gold. You are worth your weight in gold. Thank you so much for being always at my right hand and not abandoning me. Not that I don't give you reasons to do so. Thank you for that. And we can't forget our choirs who've done such a good job. And even this time you remembered that you were supposed to not launch into the Alleluia before I did that beautiful sequence, which is there, the traditional song of the church. And our dear sister Joanne. Oh, you're not a religious, but you're living like one. Thank you, Tim, as well, for allowing us to have a share of Joanne as well, to be able to make sure that everything went well with our confirmation students. And if anybody else I forgot, I'm sorry. I just don't have anything written down. I'm never that prepared. Before we get into the glories of what we have to meditate on this Resurrection Sunday, I just want to remind you that we're in the middle of the Novena of Divine Mercy. That's what was prayed here before we gather. We're on day three of the Novena of Divine Mercy. It began on Good Friday. It moves onward here all the way through next Saturday until we enjoy the Sunday of Divine Mercy next Sunday. And what do we do on Divine Mercy Sunday? It's a great grace that we have there. If you've got a struggle, if you've got a difficulty with somebody, if you've been beaten down by somebody, or you yourself find that you just have a strife that's going on within your relationships, who doesn't have one? You pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, and you put the name of that person which you're struggling with into that Divine Mercy. Have mercy on me and blank, and on the whole world. That will begin to heal that relationship, particularly on your side, to allow you to bring more mercy into that situation. And the promise of Divine Mercy Sunday is this. There's a young man from Albuquerque who called me yesterday and is working on calling every priest, including the Archbishop himself, to say, proclaim Divine Mercy's Father. Our people need Divine Mercy. He is barely even 20 years old and he's doing this. And he said, make sure that you tell them that when they pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy on Divine Mercy Sunday, when they entrust themselves to God's Divine Mercy for their own souls, when they make Holy Communion on Divine Mercy Sunday, and when they go to confession within 8 days before or 8 days afterwards, they're able to receive a grace, just like they received on their baptism. It's a total reset on your life. It's as though you never sinned before. Whatever happened before is over and done with, and you go on from that moment forward, a complete and total reset on your soul because of God's great mercy. God's great mercy. Lay hold of that grace which is in store for you this upcoming Divine Mercy Sunday, next Sunday, which means go to the confessional. Go to the confessional and receive that grace first. Then and only then can you make your Easter duty, your Easter communion, with clean soul and clean heart. For you and I to go forward in this, just to say in English what I chanted there in Latin, the sequence. It's right in front of you if you want to read it as I say it. But I'm going to say it again because it's the message that we're going to give you. The sequence is, Christians, to the Paschal victim, offer your thankful praises. Christ, who is only sinless, reconcile us sinners unto the Father. Death and life have done battle, and in combat stupendous. The Prince of Life who died, he reigns immortal. Speak, Mary, declaring what you saw wayfaring. The tomb of Christ, who is living, the glory of Jesus' resurrection. Bright angels attest to it. The shroud and the napkin rest there laying. Yes, Christ, my hope, is arisen. To Galilee he goes before you. Christ, indeed, from death is risen, our new life obtaining. Have mercy, O victor King, ever reigning. Amen. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen. He is arisen indeed. Maybe you had your coffee at 8 o'clock, did not, but you are on point today. Brothers and sisters, I just want to give you one story. You know who Cardinal Dolan is? You know him, the Cardinal Archbishop of New York? He's an amazing, gregarious man. Anytime you listen to him, he has something of joy. He has something with a bounce in his step. I know him decently well, and I bet you if I went up to him today, even though it's been since before I was ordained that I saw him, he'd know who I was. When I was in seminary, I used to run away from him. He would go there and visit in Rome, and I'd say, I'm just a stupid nobody from New Mexico. Here he is, the great Cardinal Archbishop of New York. I don't mean anything to him. So when I'd see him coming down the hall, I would move as quickly as I could without running to go and to get into the lunchroom before him because I knew I wasn't important. He had a huge retinue of people falling, holding to his elbow there, of really important people. He would always see me doing that. And he would, he's not a small man, is he? He's a very large man, if you know what I'm saying. And he would use all of that energy that he has with there and bust himself to where he would chase me down before I could get to the rectory and then would grab me by the arm and say, young man, hey, I know who you are. Remind me your name real quick. I'd say, it's Christopher Burnaby. And then he would say, oh, yes, from Santa Fe, right. And then he'd tell me what he remembered about me and tell me all the seminarians from my diocese that he could remember as well, my archbishop and other people as well. And then he would force me either to sit at table with him or at the table just behind him, where he would constantly poke me to make sure that I was involved in whatever conversation he was having there. And that's the joy of this man, to take a nobody like me and to make sure that I was included. Now this man, he tells a story about what happened to him in 1989. I want to share it with you because it will mean something to all of us who are here on Easter Sunday. Cardinal Dolan, in 1989, went with the Missionaries of Charity where he was assigned. And in his own words, here is something that he has to say. By the way, I was in kindergarten at this time. So Cardinal Dolan says this. He says, in 1989, I was assigned as a priest in Washington, D.C., and I used to have this privilege of assisting at the Gift of Peace House, which is a hospice for dying AIDS patients run by Mother Teresa's Missionaries of Charity. By the way, he and I share that in common. He did so in D.C. as a priest, and I did it at an AIDS hospice in Madrid, Spain, with the Missionaries of Charity when I was a seminarian. Continuing on with what he says. He says, on Good Friday, 1989, I was assisting at the liturgy for the sisters, the volunteers, and the patients. And after everybody venerated the cross, two sisters led me upstairs so that the bedridden patients with AIDS could kiss the feet of our Lord Jesus upon the cross. As we went from bed to bed, I noticed one emaciated man in the corner there. He was agitated. He was agitated and kept on calling out to me. And so as I turned to him to go to the corner of the room to visit him, the sisters went in front of me and stopped me. They said to me, warning, Father, this man, be careful. He is unusually violent and hateful to all. And he actually had attempted to bite the attending sisters as they helped him a number of times. Of course, you realize the consequences of being bitten by somebody who has AIDS. The cardinal goes on to say, saying, however, the man in the corner kept on calling out to me to come and to visit him. So what was I supposed to do? What would any priest do? The cardinal says, slowly and cautiously, I approached and carefully extended that crucifix of our Lord to him, which he grasped in his weak hands, and he kissed. Not the feet, I remember so vividly, but the face of our blessed Lord. And then he laid down, exhausted from all the effort that even something so simple cost him. The next day, that was Holy Saturday, the sisters called me on the phone to tell me that that same man had asked to see me. And so I rushed to that hospice. And I went again there, just as before, with a company of two sisters, one at my right and one at my left, as though they were my bodyguards. And I approached the man. As I drew nearer, he leaned out, stretching out his neck ever so slightly, and whispered to me, Father, I want to be baptized. Hearing that, Cardinal says, I moved a few inches closer to his face and whispered with satisfaction, asking him the question, why is it that he wanted to enter into the church? Son, why is it that you want to become Catholic? And the man responded, I know nothing about Christianity or about the Catholic Church. He said this with what little strength he had left within his body. He said, in fact, I have hated religion all of my life. All I know is that I have been here for 3 months dying. And these sisters, they're always happy. When I have cursed them, they look at me with compassion in their eyes. And even when they clean up my vomit, when they bathe my sores, when they change my dirty diapers, they are always smiling. When they spoon feed me, there is a radiance shooting out of their eyes. All I know is that they have joy, and I don't. When I ask them in desperation why they are so happy, all they answer me is, Jesus. Father, the man continued, I want this Jesus. Father, just come and baptize me and give me this Jesus. Give me joy. This is how Cardinal Dolan concludes the stories with these two sentences. He says, never as a priest has it brought me more satisfaction to baptize, to anoint, and to give First Holy Communion to anyone in my life than that man that day. He died at 3:15 a.m. Easter Sunday morning. Brothers and sisters, that man, we know what, that he went straight to heaven that day, that Easter Sunday morning. Absolutely shot to heaven. Why did he go to heaven? Why do we know this? What got him there? I'll tell you what it wasn't. It wasn't some great catechetical program that was going on in that hospice by the sisters. It was not some beautiful or angelic music like we have here within our church today. It wasn't a synod. It wasn't an archdiocesan initiative or a conference that moved his heart. It wasn't because Cardinal Dolan, amazing as he is, preached a great sermon. It was none of those things. They could all be good, but none of those things brought that man to heaven. Why is it that that man shot directly to heaven at 3:15 that Easter Sunday morning? It is because he went to heaven, this man did, because of joyful Christians. That's it. Joyful Christians. And so I wish to bring you a message today. The Easter message of 2022 is just this. To be a Christian that believes in Easter is to be joyful. I'll say it again. To be a Christian that believes in the reality of Easter is to be joyful. Brothers and sisters, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. I think this is what our Lord Jesus wants you and I to hear. I've been praying all week, asking God here. We're all coming back here from a long time of being away. And what is it that the people in Santa Rosa need to hear today? What encouragement do they need? What is it about your resurrection that's going to move their hearts? Time and time again, I went before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, and he kept saying the same thing to me. He kept saying to me this message. He kept tugging on my heart. I didn't want to give it. He just kept saying, to be a Christian who believes in Easter, it means that you have to be joyful. I said, God, look, do you understand who it is that I'm going to be talking to? I'm going to be here in Santa Rosa, and I'm going to be talking to a bunch of New Mexicans. And one thing about New Mexicans is that they've had the faith for 400 years, and sometimes they're tired. Sometimes they're tired of hearing it over and over again. We've got that message. We hear these things, and so they have a hard heart, don't we, sometimes, to hearing these things over and over again. I said, God, what reason do Santa Rosans have for being joyful? Maybe you'd say to me, like I was arguing back with the Lord back at this time, saying, look, when you look at the world, we got rising inflation in our country. It seems like our finances are dwindling in so many ways. We have the war that's going on in Ukraine and all over the world. We have our president and all sorts of other people who are struggling at this time. When we look and see those within our families and among our friends, I'm not accepted, we have growing identity disorders, confusion among our youth. In our local community here, it's marked not by a coming together so often, it is marked by bearing grudges, of tearing at each other. And it even only seems to deepen as time goes on. Within our church, we have problems. We have priests like Mr. James Martin, Father James Martin, pretending that sin is not sin. And nobody rebukes him for this. We have the German bishops and the synodal leaders all over the world who are teaching outright heresy. And only this week have some bishops really gotten the courage to call it out as it is, as something that the church cannot go into. Even our sacred tradition, as traditional Catholics, sometimes just to try to live our faith as it's been taught to and handed on to us from century and century down to us today, it feels like it's under attack. Not from the world who we expect it from, but even from within. So what reason do we have for joy? Admittedly, at times, it can feel bleak, can't it? It can feel like times are just so hard. No matter what's happened, it feels like there's that. And I prayed over this week. And I asked Jesus, what are the reasons that we have for joy? Can you give us something? Something that will really touch the hearts of those who are here in Santa Rosa who need it when we're coming back together again. And when I prayed, he showed me four things. So I'm going to share you those four reasons that you and I as Catholics, that you and I as here, even in Santa Rosa, can have for joy, to be joyful during this Easter season, even though all those things are going on and more. Even the personal struggles that you and I have. And so here are the reasons that you and I can be joyful during this season. The first reason is that Catholics can be joyful during this Easter season because the resurrection of Jesus means that God has conquered all evil. He's conquered all evil. And what does that mean, that God has conquered all evil? It means that it doesn't matter how much evil there is that's going on in your life. It doesn't matter how many people have done evil to you or are doing it now. It doesn't matter how much you and I are suffering, though it is great at this time, isn't it? We feel it. Because there's no situation that's so dark that it's beyond God's gift of hope. That's why we have this great Easter candle, this massive candle which is here, lighting up, pointing that always when we look up, we see the light of Christ. If we would only open our eyes, it's here because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Because the crucifixion is always followed by the resurrection, brothers and sisters, because Good Friday is always, no matter how dark and how difficult Good Friday is, it always leads unto a resurrection Sunday. That's what our faith teaches. And because Jesus' resurrection means to you and me that God has conquered all evil, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. That's the first reason. There's a second reason. That's not the only thing. The second reason that Catholics, you and I, can be joyful here in our community of Santa Rosa now during this season is because by Jesus, by his resurrection, he conquered death. He conquered death. And for you and me, what's the worst thing that you and I can conceive of? That's right. It's death. Death is the worst thing that you and I can experience in this world. There's nothing that's more final. There's nothing that is more certain than death. When you and I experience a death within our lives, our family or our friends, what happens to us? It feels like our whole life is flipped on its head. It feels like we have very little to go forward on. I know that it's been 2 years and it still hurts. Two of my priest friends lost their fathers this week. Death turns everything upside down. We hate death. We are afraid of death, but we know it's coming and it's going to come at some point. But what does Easter mean? Easter means that Jesus conquered death. Death has lost its sting. It's lost its bite in your life and mine. Does it still happen even though Jesus rose from the dead? Yes, it still happens. But when it happens, there's a promise that our Lord's resurrection gives you that there will be life eternal in him. That you and I will be reunited with our loved ones in the very person of Christ. Those who died in Christ will also rise with Christ and live with him, and you and I with him if we persevere unto the end. Why? Why do we know that? Because Jesus conquered death on Easter, and that's a reason for you and I to be joyful, isn't it? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Even the Esquivels in back can do it. Reason number three, why you and I can be joyful during this Easter season, is because by his resurrection, that Christ's human body rose never to die again. That bodily resurrection is important. It means for you and me this. It means that you and I serve a God who's not dead, but a God who's alive. A God who is a real bodily person, just like you and I are bodily persons. The God that you believe in, the God that I believe in, is not an imaginary bunny. It's not a fairy that visits you from time to time doing good things. It's not pie in the sky thinking. God, he is a man. He has a body, a risen body. He is flesh and blood, just like you and me. The scriptures teach you and I that he is a real living, breathing, and if you follow the Easter story, that he is even an eating God, an eating person. And that means that this Jesus is able to walk alongside you and me with his own feet, to be step by step with you and I every day of our lives. That means through all the ups that you and I experience and the downs, through all the highs that you and I experience in the greatest moments, and even through those troughs and lows, no matter how long they exist. The living, the risen, the bodily Jesus is always with you. And so because of that, it doesn't matter who rejects you, or who leaves you, or who dies on you, or who abandons you, or who mistreats you or offends you, or who even spits in your face. It really doesn't matter who starts the wars, whether it's a war that's going on in our world or war in our political sphere, whether it's a war in our community between family and family or a war that is existing and tearing apart our church. There is always one person who will be by your side, and he will always carry you to the end of every conflict if you just remain with him and look to his light, which is always on high. Because Christ Jesus has a human body that never dies, that is a reason for you and I during this Easter season in Santa Rosa to be joyful. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. The last reason, the fourth reason that I prayed about, it was given to by the Lord, that Catholics should be joyful during this Easter season, is that Jesus did something after he rose. He visited his apostles, and what did he do? He blew. He breathed upon his apostles there in the upper room, and he said something to them. What did he say? He said to them, whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. Whoever sins you retain are retained. And so what does that most important phrase that he rose in order to speak and to breathe upon his apostles in that way, what does it mean for you and me? It means this, that you are not defined by your past. It means, brothers and sisters, that you are not the sum total of all your weaknesses and your failings. That you are not only amounting to all the worst mistakes that you had, the worst days that you've had. That is not who you are. It doesn't matter how awful the sin that you committed is, or how long ago it was, or however many people know it and hold it to you and throw it in your face time and time again. You can always be forgiven by God. He is always there, ready and willing to take you back when you come to him, that you can begin again brand new, as though you never committed that in your life or that never even happened to you. At every moment, if you would just go into the confessional box and receive his love again, he'd breathe on his priests to give them the power to forgive so that you and I can know beyond the shadow of a doubt we are totally cleansed and can start over brand new every single time we go to confession. Because our Lord Jesus breathed upon his apostles that day saying, whose sins it is that you forgive are forgiven them. Brothers and sisters, In Easter, you and I can be joyful because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. You can be joyful because of this. Because God, Jesus, rose from the dead and conquered evil. You can be joyful during this time because he conquered death, meaning that death does not have the last word in our relationships. That Jesus conquered, lives bodily and never dies and can walk with you through every trouble. You can be joyful at every moment. You can be joyful during this time because Jesus always gives you and I a chance to begin again and again and again, no matter how bad we fall, if we just make use of what it is that he gives us in the confessional. So when you came here into this church and there was something heavy hanging on your soul, what was that reason for sadness? When you came in here in distress, when you walked into this church, what was distressing you? What again was that one thing that was keeping you from experiencing a joy that shoots out of you to the persons that you meet in the street? And compared with the resurrection that God has given for you and I today, it's nothing, is it? It's absolutely nothing. I guarantee you, what I'm telling you here, it's not a ripoff. I'm not selling you a bill of goods in any way. It's not a scam that I'm just filling you with nice words. Brothers and sisters, this is the most fundamental truth of your faith and mine as Catholics. Nay, it's more than that. It's the most fundamental truth of life itself, that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. How many thousands and hundreds of thousands of Christians have gone to their death martyred, saying, whatever you do to my body doesn't matter, because God's going to preserve my soul and raise up this very same body in the new age. How many are this day suffering persecution if they would just even make the sign of the cross in public in certain countries? And yet they do so knowing that this God who preserves himself will also preserve their souls unto eternity, and they're willing to be martyrs even unto this day. To be a Christian, brothers and sisters, who believes in Easter is to be joyful. Let's get personal for a second and ask you a question. Is that all right? Don't look at me skeptically. Just this one question. Would you consider yourself to be a joyful person? What about this? Would those who know you really well, would those who live with you, share the same home with you, the intimate friends that you have, if they were asked, would they say that you yourself, Tammy, are a joyful person? Would they turn to you in this way and say, those of you who work with you, Maxine, would they say that you're a joyful person? What about those who are with you? Would they turn to you, Joaquin, and say, those who work with you each and every day, day in, day out, would they say, Joaquin, he's a joy, and he brings me joy. Even those who serve you at table when you go out to eat, would they say you're a joyful person? You know, the reason why there are so many empty churches, and indeed why there are so many unfilled spots here today, the reason why is not because there's a bunch of bad preaching, or it's not because there's bad music going on in churches all throughout the world. That's not the reason. Do you know what the real reason is? The real reason why churches aren't packed every single Sunday? It's because when people meet Catholics, they don't seem to see anything different than anybody else. They can't tell whether you're Catholic or not by seeing you on the street. sometimes when they find out that you're Catholic, they realize something about you that hurts them. They find that you're just as miserable as they are. Or sometimes that you're even more miserable and curmudgeon as you tear at them and others. It's been said many times, but there are too many Christians who live their lives as though every day is Lent, but they never actually make it to Easter. Brothers and sisters, we should live the messages of Lent every day, yes, but to realize that we are living in the eternal Easter at every moment, that Christ is risen. Amen. That he is risen indeed. Amen. You know what would happen if here in Santa Rosa, if here within our community, Santa Rosa began to meet Catholics who were really joyful, what would happen in the community? What would happen there if it would be that every single Sunday Mass would absolutely be packed to the rafters? That every Mass would be packed in this way, that we would have to add more Masses. You'd be begging me, Father, just give us one more Mass. Just give us one more Mass because we can't fit everybody in here. You'd be on the phone writing letters to the bishop saying, Father, Archbishop, send us one more priest. Father Burnaby can't handle it by himself. And when that one came, say, Father, we need another priest. Three, give us a third priest over here because we can't handle it within our community. There's way too much going on here. Brothers and sisters, because everybody here wants to be happy. Everybody in our community, if you talk to them about happiness, you're going to get their attention right away because everybody wants it, and it seems like they don't have it enough. When you meet somebody in your life who has joy, you know it. When you meet somebody who's a joyful person, you say, I want what she has. Say, I want what he is giving right there. I want some of that. They want to be around somebody who's joyful. Don't want to be around a curmudgeon. You want to be around somebody who has joy, and they'll ask you for it. They'll ask you and say, what is the reason for your joy? Why are you so joyful? What is it about you that even when the worst things happen to you, you still are full of joy? And the Christian replies just like those Missionary of Charity sisters did and do always in that Avis Hospice and everywhere they are. The Christian, the Catholic, says, the reason why I'm joyful is Jesus. It's that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Brothers and sisters, every single one of us here, we are a walking billboard. All of us are walking the billboards. What is it that you're advertising? What are you advertising? Are you advertising to the world a joy, or is it a sadness? Are you advertising to the world a happiness, or is it a misery? Easter allows you and me to advertise joy, not just on today, not just on this week that is Easter, not during this entire season of 7 weeks that we celebrate Easter mysteries, but to do so every single day, year in and year out. And if we did, this church here in Santa Rosa would be absolutely packed. And our community would not be so divided, not be so much in pain, tearing at each other. So this Easter, in 2022, is this time going to be an excuse for you to just have a family gathering? To eat more chocolate bunnies? To have way more marshmallow peeps than you need? Or is it going to be for something else? Is this Easter 2022 a time when I'm going to say to those who are at table with me, I believe in Easter. And I believe in all of its ramifications. That I believe that Jesus conquered evil. And that means that it doesn't matter what happens to me from the outside. That I believe that Jesus conquered death. And it means that even though certain people aren't able to be here because they've gone on before us at the table, I know that I can be reunited with them again. Is it going to be a time where I'm going to say that Jesus lives bodily and he never dies, and that he can walk through me in every trouble, even in the darkest depths? It's going to be a time when I'm going to proclaim to all those who are around me that Jesus gives me a chance to always begin again and again and again, no matter how badly I screw up. And that means that I can live out a season with joy. Because of this, I can be joyful all the time, not just today. Brothers and sisters, this is the Easter message. That to believe in Easter, to be a Christian who believes in Easter, means that I must be joyful. Brothers and sisters, you can do it at this time, because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Brothers and sisters, blessed Easter, and God love you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.